mainly out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. In fact, I think it would be probably appropriate if we just turn there and we just read that text together. It's only a couple verses. And just so you kind of get the context of it, this is about who Jesus is. You know, you can go to church all your life and still not really understand who Jesus really is. And this morning, that's what this message, lesson, whatever it is you want to call it, that's what this is going to be about. So anyway, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, talking about Jesus here, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would just guide us in a proper understanding of who our Savior really is. You know, maybe we've had some doubts, maybe we've had some concerns, maybe there were some things that we just didn't understand about Jesus. Maybe we believe that you sent your only begotten Son, but we don't really know who this begotten Son really is. Lord, would you help us this morning to understand it? Lord, I just ask that you would help me to be able to explain it, that you'd send your Holy Spirit to speak through me and send your Holy Spirit to your people, that they may be able to understand that even though if I say words wrong, that they would be able to comprehend what it is that you're trying to, the message that you're trying to pass along to your people. Lord, help us to lift you up. Help us to praise you for who you are. We're thankful for the songs. We're thankful for the talent that we see growing in some of the younger people. Lord, we just ask that whatever it is that's been burdening us today and this week, that you would take that away and help us, Lord, to open up our minds to you and to only to you and allow you to have the preeminence both in our lives today and in our life as we leave here today and serve you throughout the whole week. God is Lord in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the question is, who is Christ in this passage? Now, If you could think back, we've been speaking about Jesus in the book of Mark, chapter 1. We've talked about Jesus who has gone about and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And we've seen how the gospel of the kingdom affects so many different things in our life, especially who we believe that we are. And in this passage, we see that, who is Jesus? Well, if you really see Jesus according to Colossians chapter 1 here, you will see that Jesus should have the authority over your life more than any other authority. I don't know if that makes sense to you. When I was going through basic military training, I began to understand a little bit more about authority as a my dad tried to teach me about authority, and you know there's a difference between your dad being an authority in your life and then you going to another place and you just giving authority to somebody that you don't know. Well, that's exactly what I had to do in basic training. I was giving my free will up to an authority, and I allowed him to direct me in that authority. Now, what would he do? Well, they would tell me exactly what to do. What do you mean? Well, they would tell me, you know, what to wear. They'd tell me what time to get up in the morning. They would tell me when to take a shower. They would tell me when to eat. And they would tell me when to go to bed. Well, you're like, well, I don't know if I want that kind of authority in my life. I had given myself up to the service of the country. I had become a military member. And I'm thankful for everyone who was willing to give up of themselves to serve our country. But what I see in the Scripture is I see that those who are called according to the gospel of the kingdom, that they are supposed to give of themselves even more than what I gave unto the military during that time. That Jesus Christ should have that much authority in your life and more so. Now, you may not agree with that. Well, that's fine. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. And if you don't walk away thinking that I should give of myself even more than that, then there's something wrong. There's either something wrong with you or there's something wrong with the way that I am presenting the gospel. I don't know. But Jesus Christ should have more authority in your life than any military commander ever thought about having. That's the way it's supposed to be because I'm bought with a price. Jesus Christ gave all for me. The thing is, I was willing to submit myself to that because I knew whom I was serving when I went to basic military training. I knew that I was serving my country. And I was willing to do that because I was serving my country. If Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you're willing to serve your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see here. And it's important that we recognize Jesus Christ as the authority. Now, I want to reference you back to Mark just for a second. Mark chapter 1. Because in Mark chapter 1, we see something that Jesus is going to these synagogues and he's teaching probably, when you get to Matthew chapter 5, probably teaching that to an extent. But as he's in one of the synagogues, he meets this man. And this man has an unclean spirit. In Sunday school, we were in our class, we were talking about demonic spirits just a little bit. But Jesus meets this man with an unclean spirit. And he's possessed. He is possessed with a spirit that is controlling every aspect of his life. And the spirit is there at church. Oh, goodness. That might preach its own little message, right? The devil goes to church. He wants to make sure that the truth isn't coming out. The only thing is, when Jesus walked in the door, the manifestation of truth in the flesh walked through the door. And the demon couldn't handle it. The demons was inside of this guy. Couldn't handle it, the truth. And they began to cry out. And they realized the authority over their evil spirits. You know, Jesus Christ has authority even over evil. And they begin to cry out. And they think that they're in danger. They think that this is the end for them. And they said, "If you come to destroy us." They're like, I didn't think it was yet. I thought maybe it was later, but they thought, today is the day. The Son has left the throne of glory and He has come down to rule and reign on the earth and He is going to destroy us. Our time is over. Oh, I wish there were some people in this sanctuary right now that could get a glimpse of that and feel that of Jesus Christ coming on them and they would be facing Him and they'd be wondering, is today the day that Jesus Christ is going to take my soul back because it belongs to Him? See, the demons, they thought that because they realized something. Jesus Christ has authority over their being. And they thought their time was up. And they said, "We know who you are." If you saw Jesus, would you know who He was? Would you recognize Him? Because you've seen His authority. You know His power. He says, "You're the Son of God. You're the Holy One that was sent." And they recognized the demons. Okay, the demon spirit inside of this possessed guy recognized Jesus. And Jesus commanded them to hold their peace. Can you picture that? This demon voice is just screaming out, causing a ruckus there. And Jesus Christ looks at him and says, hold your peace. That means be quiet. Silence. And I don't think he said it in, would you please be quiet? I don't think he did that. I think he pointed his finger right at that demon spirit and he says, you need to hush your mouth. With the voice of authority. With the voice of a command. The same command that spoke the heavens and the earth into place. That gave Adam his breath of life. That molded Eve from Adam's rib. That voice the demon recognized. And Jesus commanded the demon to come out of him. And all those people there that witnessed this, they said, what is this? We've never seen anything like this before. Is this a new doctrine? Where can this guy come up with this? How does he do that? That even the demons listen and obey him. You know, that's a question we might need to ask ourselves. If the demons are willing to do that, and they know that they're supposed to do that, what's wrong with me if I don't? Why does Jesus have more authority over the demons than he does of me? He has more authority over you. The thing about Jesus is that He is very merciful to us. He is very graceful to us. And we don't deserve a bit of it. And we don't really know who Jesus is. Because if you did, you would be like that demon's voice that morning when Jesus that met Jesus in a synagogue. And you would say, whatever Jesus tells me to do, I'm going to do it. And you would recognize Him as the authority over your life in every respect. Look back with me in Colossians. Because even these demons testified of Jesus' authority, how He could command them. Look back in verse 15. It says, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Do you realize that Jesus was not just a prophet? He was not just a man. He was not just somebody who was just like us. Yes, He was 100% man, but He was also 100% God. And He was the image of the invisible God. You know, if you'd gone to the association, I forget who it was that was preaching. I got them mixed up. I think it was Danny. I forget what his last name was. But he described Jesus as this image. And you're like, well, what's the difference between image and God? Well, it was kind of like God is the die cast. You ever seen a coin? You know, how do they make all those coins look exactly the same, right? Well, there's a die. You know, it's got a mold in it. Well, Jesus is that mold incarnate. He's the image of Almighty God, of the invisible God. That's why when Thomas is wondering, Jesus, what are you talking about? You're going to leave? You know, who's the Father? And Jesus would say to Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no difference between us. The only difference is that you can see me because God planted me here and I am His image. And He has given me all power and authority over heaven and earth. And here I am. What God can do, I can do. And He is the image of the invisible God. I think it's 1 Timothy 3:16 that will say it like this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You see, it is a controversy, and great is the mystery of godliness. But God was manifest in the flesh in the image of Jesus Christ. And you know, we have a world that there is a controversy that surrounds Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you that He's God in the flesh. And He is worthy of your worship. And He is worthy of your praise. And He is worthy of your dedication. And it is your duty to obey Him and to give Him full authority in your life. Whatever He asks, you do. What He commands, that is your responsibility to follow through. You don't get to waver from it. You don't get to adjust it. You may ask Him some follow-up questions about it, but you must do as Mary said. When the angel gives her a message from Almighty God, the command that you will be the vessel that brings in this Messiah. And she doesn't understand how it's going to work. She asks a question, you know, how can this be? And this is what she follows up with. Be it unto me, even as you have said. That's basically saying, yes, Lord. Whatever it is, however you want to use me, my body is a vessel of honor for you. Whatever. If it's to bring in the Messiah, yes. Well, God has actually given you a command. Do you realize that? You're like, I don't know. God hasn't talked to me and told me what to do. Well, I know one thing He's told you to do. Go ye into all the world. You can start with one of these papers. That's a plug for our event this week. Go ye. This is an opportunity for them to get the gospel in their hands, because when they get here, we're going to have some bags, we're going to have some tracts, we're going to have some treats. Hey, how about that? Tracts and treats instead of trick-or-treats. Hey, it's going to be a good time for you to practice being a go-year. Plug in. Make it your mission. You know, we need a junior high Sunday school teacher. We really do. There's a lot of things we need around here. But I'm telling you, we are in desperate need of that. And God has given us the right person. And He has told somebody, that's your job. And somebody's saying no. Hey, that's just a small thing. I mean, you're talking about, oh, I got to teach the preacher's kids. Hey, we all need somebody to be our mentor. And He is calling. And we don't know who Jesus is. We're not listening. We're not following through. He is the firstborn of every creature. Look at the next part of that, verse 15. The firstborn of every creature. I don't know if you understand that firstborn. That refers back to the Old Testament. That's the culture over there. The firstborn is the head of the becomes the head of the household. He's the one in charge. He's the one who inherits everything. Okay? It's like the inheritance. If your parents pass away, they have a will. Your name is on the will. You're the sole heir. Well, that's Jesus Christ. He is the sole heir of this world. And every creature, He is the firstborn. You are His. It doesn't matter if you believe or not. You belong to Jesus. The principalities, even those demons recognized, yes, we have been cast out of heaven and we are evil, but we still belong to the Maker of heaven and earth. He is the ruler even over us, and we can only do exactly what He allows us to do. Even Satan has to ask permission from God before he can do anything, because that is how much authority God has, and Jesus is His image. That means that Jesus Christ has the same authority as Almighty God. Satan has to listen to Jesus. That's why when Jesus would talk to Peter, he knew that Satan was trying to speak through Peter. And when Jesus would talk to him, he would say, "Get behind me, Satan." Because he knew who was behind that voice of Peter during that time, trying to keep him from going to the cross. See, the Satan, he was trying to mess up God's plan. He's always been trying to mess up God's plan. And he's trying to mess up God's plan to use you. And he's talking through you. And what we got to do is we got to realize who is the proper authority in this world and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to listen to God, not you. I don't need your manipulative voice. I don't need your little imps in my life." All I need is the Holy Spirit, and I need to be led by Him. And I need to listen to that voice, the Comforter, whom Jesus said He would send after He ascended up into heaven. Do you know who Jesus is? Look at the next one in verse 16. It says, all things were created. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, powers. Hey, that's just what I was telling you. The demons understood this. The problem is people don't understand this. They don't understand that we are created by Him and for Him. Our life is really to be led for Him in every respect, everything. Every day. All things were created. Look at the next one. He was before all things. It says, and He is before all things in verse 17, and by Him all things consist. You're like, well, Brother Mitch, what is that? Is that saying that He was created? He was not created. It is saying before there was anything that we see, before there was anything created, well, Jesus was there. Was He created by God then? No. He is God. Can I explain it very well? Probably not. But I can tell you He's the image of God. That there is no distinct difference. He's just a part of that triune Godhead that the Scripture speaks about. And that's a whole other series and a story. But what we need to know is that all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. Psalms 41 and verse 13 will say it like this, that He is from everlasting to everlasting. You're like, well, those are weird terms, Brother Mitch. I don't understand. Why didn't it say he was before or whatever? Well, when was time? Well, He created time. You and I live in time. He's outside of time. That's why He says He is from everlasting to everlasting, that there never was a time that He was not, for lack of better words. And there never will be a time when He is not. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is an infinite God. He is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. He stretches through all eternity. And you and I were created by Him and for Him. I forget where the reference is in Ecclesiastes, but even your soul, you think, oh, I possess my soul. You don't possess your soul. Because if you possess your soul, you could control where your soul is going to go when it dies. You have no control over that, except in the respect that you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept Him as Lord in your life. Because the Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes that when this body dies, that the soul returns to Him who gave it. It's going somewhere. Everyone will die. Everyone in this room will die. We don't know when. We don't know where. We don't know how. But it doesn't matter. Because your soul is going to return to the one who gave it. And when it gets to the one who gave it, He will judge that soul according to what it has done in this life. The Scripture will say it like this: today is the day of salvation. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Don't neglect so great a God. Do you know who Jesus is today? Look at the next one. It says, by Him all things consist. You're like, well, I don't understand that, Brother Mitch. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 8, I think, helps us understand it. It says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among the princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. What does that mean? That means He ultimately has control over your life. If you would give Him full control over your life, you don't know what He might do with it. Most of the time when people give their life to Jesus, He does something awesome with it, something great, because they're under the control of His Spirit and they listen to what the Spirit is saying and they follow the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and He wants the best for His people. Now, I guess that best term could be relative, because that best thing could mean that you become a martyr with your life. And with your death, you lead hundreds and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. You know, some things are better than life. How about everlasting life? How about being the person who can influence other people to be saved? You see, Jesus wants to pass that image onto you. The Scripture tells us in another place that we are supposed to be conformed into the image of that Christ. He wants to mold us in that. He wants us to realize that these things, He wants to pass along to you. He wants you to understand that. He wants to make you better than what you are. He wants to give you more strength than what you think that you have. See, most of what limits us is our sitting back and like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. That's what Moses said. I can't do it, God. I can't do it. And God used him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. I can just imagine Joseph. Remember Joseph, the husband of Mary? When he finds out that Mary's pregnant, he's like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And then the angel talks to him and says, what's inside of her is not exactly what you think, Joseph. What inside of her has been given to her from Almighty God. You are the protector of the infant Christ. What if Joseph said, I can't do it. That's too big of a job. What was Joseph's job? Protect the infant Christ. All he had to do was listen to God. God sent him angels. God sent him visions. God directed his path. And you know, he did his job. That was it. His job. And now you and I can be saved because Joseph was willing to look beyond what other people would think, even beyond his own thinking and reasoning. And he listened to what God had to say. And God used him to protect Jesus. He didn't use a king. He didn't use an army. He used one man who was willing to listen, to leave everything his own desires, to leave his own family. Can you imagine what his family thought? Joseph, why are you marrying this woman who's been cheating and running around on you? They didn't understand that. And Joseph would say, well, God told me. It's going to be okay. Sold his business. Ended up moving to Egypt to protect the child from what was going on in Bethlehem. Because he was willing to obey. He got a glimpse of who that child really was. God manifests in the flesh. And his authority. See, Mary understood it. Joseph understood it. It's our turn. It's our turn to understand it. He's the head of the body. Do you see that in verse 18? He is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of Bethany Baptist Church. Man, if you think I am, we're in for a long road. But if Jesus Christ is the head of Bethany Baptist Church, there is nothing that Bethany Baptist can't do because He's Almighty God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. There's nothing that's impossible. But we've got to realize He's the authority, and I've got to listen to Him. Lord, what would You like to do with Bethany Baptist Church? I can tell you what He doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to sit on the pew and twiddle our thumbs and wait for the rapture. You know how I know He doesn't want us to do that? Because He hasn't come yet. If He was done with me, He would have already taken me on to glory and I would have been okay with that, but He hasn't. And let me tell you, by the way, I've given Him plenty of opportunities to do that to me. And He hasn't yet. He keeps letting me live. Why would he let me live? Why would he let me keep consuming oxygen molecules? Because there is a lost soul out there that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he thinks that I can help win that person to him. Oftentimes it takes a bunch of people. It'd take you and you and you. There's no one here that God doesn't want to use. It takes all of us. Building the relationships. Realizing he's the authority. He wants to use us. Now, if I know who Jesus is, I say, okay. Here it is, God. Just show us what to do. Would you give us some tools? He's given us every single thing that we need right now to reach our community with the gospel. What he wants is some people that really understand that authority. He wants a group of people that will say yes, to look past the handicaps, to look past whatever we think that's holding us back, and to look past those things, and to see a future generation that will look back and say, we were faithful to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who was before you. They were faithful. The Bethany Baptist Church 20, 30 years ago was faithful. You know how I know that? Because you're here. The next generation must find us faithful. To whom? To whom is our authority? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the authority? Do you believe that he is the image of Almighty God? Do you believe that he is the head of the church? If you do, he's the one who's in charge. John the Baptist will say it like this: I must decrease, he must increase. That's how it's going to happen. We have to neglect ourselves, our own personal interests, and look beyond that. Because that's what we're here for. That is what we're here for. It's not here to be entertained, even though I think I love playing the keyboard. I love playing with Sean and Isaac and Sister Betty and Kelly and Micah. I love it. But we're here to be encouraged to go back out and be witnesses. We've got a great opportunity. We're in the middle of I don't know how many thousands of people. And you're like, oh, well, they're all going to church. I can tell you, they're not all going to church. Most of them are going to Pepito's up here right now. Or they're going wherever. It won't be long and they're going to be going to the movie theaters that they're being built. Our job is to make sure that we span the gap. That we stand up because we believe in the authority of Jesus Christ. We believe who he is. That he's God manifest in the flesh. Like Peter would say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does that mean to you? What a Peter. It will eventually mean that he's hung upside down on a cross because he doesn't feel worthy to be hung the other way like his Savior was. For John, it will mean burn me in oil, tar me with feathers, exile me to the Isle of Patmos. I would do it all again for the cause of Christ. James will say, cut off my head. James, the brother of Christ, will say, I'm standing on God's word no matter what. Though they will cast me off the pinnacle of the temple one day for me standing up for Jesus Christ, I'm okay with that. A guy named Polycarp was a third generation Christian. About 90 years old when he died. And they burned him at the stake. And all he had to do was recant Jesus Christ. And he would say, God has been faithful to me all these many years. I'm not failing him at the end of mine. Will you leave this earth and God call you faithful because you know who He is? The song leader and Sister Betty, if you play the piano, would come. Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, guide us, Lord, in these things. Help us to understand who You really are. I'm thankful for this passage that explains how powerful and how mighty that You are, how we need to give You the authority. But Lord, I'm also understanding of the end of it that says that You've given us peace, that You've made a way for peace. You have reconciled us to Yourself. And I'm thankful that You want us to have peace. You don't want us to be burdened, but You want us to accept who You are, Your righteousness. Lord, would You wash away my sins? Would You help me to live for You the way that I need to? Guide me, Lord, in Your ways. Would You give me somebody to witness to this week? Make me bold. Help me to be courageous for Your honor, for Your glory. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.